This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Check your pockets. Look inside the couch cushions and underneath the seats of your car. Welcome to Front Range Spare Change. Here's Dustin and Clayton.
Another week in the books. We broke our streak, but not by much. Still sad, though.
Yeah, it stings a little bit. But, you know, all good things must come to an end. But when that happens, all you can do is start good things again.
That's a fact. So, 3-4 last week. 12-10 on the year, which I'll take for early on. Clayton and I were just discussing that, you know, this is kind of the time of the year where we can actually use some data, use some eyeball tests, and kind of formulate a little bit better of an opinion. So this is kind of where I ramp up just a touch. I'm still, like, I'm above week one and week zero, but I'm below probably like week six, week seven of really getting into it.
Yeah, tough to be super, super confident because we're drawing numbers and stats from teams that have played some FBS opponents and, quite frankly, maybe a couple of patsies on the schedule. So it's still a little difficult to tell what you got, but at least we have something to work with, and that – just makes everything a little bit easier to dial in to get sharp.
That's facts there. How about we just let's get right into it this week. Where are we going first, my friend?
Time to pop some corn. The highest ranked game on our board this week, we've got Michigan at Nebraska.
Do you think we should see if we can hear it still?
Well, I think it goes without saying.
I don't know who told me this, but I heard one time to get real close to the corn. And this is a big cornfield.
Still huge.
Kind of like the Field of Dreams. You can hear the corn growing. But we're gonna try it. I don't know.
Give it a
maybe
shot.
Maybe just you can, not true.
You it's gonna be. It's corn. Gonna be true.
You can hear that corn.
It's got to be true.
Well, we've got ourselves a little ball game here in Lincoln. We've got Nebraska 3-0 start. They beat Akron, Houston Christian. And they've also tackled Cincinnati, so they got some good things going on in Lincoln. Michigan rolls into town 2-1. They beat New Mexico, lost to Oklahoma, and then last week seemed like they were a little chapped. They put 63 points on Central Michigan.
Mm. Good golly. Yeah, so Michigan losing to Oklahoma, I was going through my whole spiel here. Oklahoma has the number one rated defense in all the land right now.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Yeah, it's so weird from the Big 12 days. But they got it figured out there. So that is something there. I am actually really looking forward to this matchup here. Two very, very good teams, two evenly matched teams, both traditionally strong on the defensive side.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're talking about a Nebraska defense that ranks number one against the pass. That is impressive. And, you know, coming off of last year's success when they were giving up 3.7 yards per game or something stupid like that. I mean, their defense, they've got it dialed in. A couple of things that I saw that give me a little pause for the total is that Michigan – primarily has been relying on the run. They're running, you know, about 59% of the time, ranking 30th there. Nebraska's rush defense has not been terrific. So when I look at a total like 46.5, even though we're talking about two good teams, I think I'm probably going to lean to the over on that.
Yeah, Michigan's been quite good. Bryce Underwood, the quarterback for Michigan, very young, very raw, likes to use his legs a little bit there. So it'll be a different look for Nebraska having to probably the little bit of the dual threat there. And then Nebraska's side of things, they've been very good through the air. I have them ranked as 18th through the air in their pass effectiveness. They're 41st in explosive drives. They're 54th in drive efficiency. Just solid there. And Michigan is about the same. So they're 18th rush effectiveness, 55th play efficiency, and 18th in the drive efficiency. So this is pretty similar to a low total that we had last week that blew over the top of the over there. And I like it just as much this week.
Yeah, Nebraska started to find their groove offensively. And this is something that that is kind of new and different for them in Lincoln. So I have a feeling that they are going to try to continue that trend. And Dylan Raiola has been looking really, really solid. It's pretty impressive. You've got running back Emmett Johnson. He's running for a little over 100 yards a clip so far this year. They found a little balance, and they found, more than anything, probably a little passing game. And you got to like that as a Nebraska fan. The Nebraska is getting 2.5 points at home. That, to me, is one of those strange numbers that I like to look for a little extra value. What do you got there, Irby?
I like the Nebraska money line part here. I think we still got plus 120 on the money line. That home crowd is just going to be nuts in there. The old black shirt model, I think, is going to make a real, real impact on this. And like I had mentioned, Bryce Underwood, very raw, very young, going into a very hostile environment. I just think leads to not a whole lot of success early for Michigan. I do think they put some points on the board, but I actually like Nebraska's money line here.
I think that's a solid play. Money line plus 114, 120 in a couple of places.
There we go.
So this to me, if Nebraska wins the game, I don't see this being a one-pointer. So I'm going to forsake, 2.5 and take the value on the money line at plus 120 as it stands. So I think Nebraska wins this thing outright, and I think this might be one of the better football games on the board this week.
Yeah, I agree. I also like the over here. We had stated this is about the time where the offenses kind of catch up a little bit, and I don't think these two defenses. I just don't see them going run, run, punt, run, run, punt, run, run, punt. I feel like there will be a decent flow to this. I do think that they'll have to earn their points, but that total is that's pretty low for a college game these days. And 46.5 is something I'm willing to take a stab at.
Yeah, I'll do that too. Michigan's offense, putting up 34 points. 24 points or 13 points at Oklahoma, and then 63 last week. They've found a little something. They are not going to settle for a bunch of field goals, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, so let's go there. Let's go Nebraska money line over 46.5 for the game total. Very, very look. I think this is probably the most interesting matchup that we broke down here as far as quality opponents and quality teams. So I am very interested in this one.
Yeah, that's good for me. Let's take off, eh?
Let's do it. Do you think they actually earn it?
I'm sure they do somewhere along the line, or at least. Woo! Best pregame in college football. You got the flyovers. You got parachuters. The works at Air Force. You got Boise joining the crowd this Saturday, 5:00. Boise State rolls into town. They are a 10-point favorite, and we're looking at 51.5 for totals. Boise's 1-1, lost to South Florida, who is a ball club, that's for sure. Kind of surprised me last week their loss to Miami.
Yeah, but, laid a little egg there.
Yeah, that's for sure. But South Florida, heck of a team. They play a completely upbeat, ridiculous to prepare for sort of scheme. But Boise beats Eastern Washington last week or a couple of weeks ago, 51-14. Air Force, they have a 1-1 record. They beat Bucknell. And then lost over the last weekend to Utah State. 49-30. That one shocked me, got my attention a bit.
Yeah, me too. I just didn't see them playing zero defense, like just absolutely none.
Yeah, that was surprising. Utah State is not the best team in the world, but by the same token, they aren't the worst. But wow, that was something, 49 points from them.
Yeah, that's a whole lot. This is an interesting thing. So now you got Boise with a week to prepare for Air Force off, an extra week there. Then you got Air Force coming back from a bad loss, or just, I guess, slightly embarrassing, at least for the defensive side of things. A 10-point spread coming here to Colorado Springs, which, like, if this is played at a neutral site, this game shouldn't probably be all that close. But here we are in a basically a two-score game.
Interesting, isn't it? I gotta believe the Air Force is going to come out fired up. Their defense has got to play better. When I initially looked at this, I kind of thought to myself, wow, Boise's a no-brainer. But when digging a little bit deeper, I think there are a couple of different angles that you can take here. Maddox Madsen, quarterback for Boise State, threw a couple of games, 77 attempts, 44 completions, not too bad, 532 yards through the air, three touchdowns. They take care of the ball, no picks. That is, you know, typical Boise State sort of football. But Air Force's defense is fairly stingy, you know, even though they did give up, you know, a ton to Utah State. I think a couple of things here that are going to maybe give me a little bit of a lean would be I could see this being something like 35-28, somewhere in that sort of range. I just got to believe that Air Force is going to come out and look a little bit better than what they have.
I agree there. The one main glaring thing that I see out of all of mine is Air Force against the pass, 131st in effectiveness. That is just real, real bad.
It can't get a whole lot worse. I mean, it can only get, five teams worse now. But that's just not going to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And Boise is, like you said, they're very average to above average on the offensive side. 18th in play efficiency, which is phenomenal. 51st through the air and 54th on the ground. And then 31st in negative drives, which means they don't turn it over in bad spots. And they're pretty good at putting up points on every drive. It is pretty much what that comes down to. And Air Force on the other side of those things, they're 103rd in allowing those negative drives. So they're basically allowing points on every drive. And like I had mentioned, 131st through the air. They're 98th against the rush. I believe they're better than those stats, but that's still pretty glaring right now.
Yeah, they're just going to give up yards at the end of the day. You know, and the one thing that you always look at when you take a look at an Air Force team is the other team's rush defense. And right now, Boise is giving up about 117 yards per game. That's a little bit high, and you would only expect that number to go up when they play Air Force. So I like over 51.5 for the game total here. I like both teams to score some points.
I do too. The more comfortable one is the Boise totals, which is where I'm heading, along with that over 51.5. It's not the best of number in the first half, but I'm still going to take it just because I think the opportunities are there. I just don't see Air Force slowing them down. The only thing that I can think of is, you know, if Boise has a bad turnover here or there, might keep it a little bit on the lower total spot. But I like Boise over 14.5, their team total in the first half. And I like Boise over 34.5 for their team total for the game, which is an adjusted line for a little bit of plus money to kind of even those bets out. I just think I do think it's going to be fairly similar to last week's game. I think there's a bunch of points on both sides. And I'm not real comfortable with laying 10 on the road for Boise. I don't know what kind of team they still are, but I do know that they can put up points, and I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, this I got to believe that this is a gut check game for Boise State. Yeah, they you know, coming into every season for the last 15 years or so, they've been kind of in the hunt, that on the outside looking in, just a couple of players short of, you know, being a national power. But they're going to make a statement. I think they are. And Air Force, unfortunately, just I don't think has the defense to stop Boise's just balanced attack. The over 14.5 first half, laying the hook is always kind of a difficult proposition. I would, you know, maybe even look if you see if you can buy that somewhere out there. I don't know if that if that's going to be available or not. As of now, it's not. But 14.5, I still feel pretty comfortable with Boise putting at least 17 on the board in that first half.
Yeah, same here. I think when everything gets released out as far as all the bet options, and you can move those either which way. And unfortunately, I think it's only going to go the Boise direction. So trying to find 13.5 is you're probably going to lay a pretty big number, I would imagine, somewhere around the minus 170s, 180s, maybe even low 200s on game day. I'm with you. I think 17 is very on the low end. I wouldn't be surprised if they put 3 or 4 touchdowns on the board, just with Air Force lending points on almost every drive. So I expect a little bit of an up and down kind of game here, back and forth, which even sounds weird with Air Force style of play. But that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, give us Boise over 34.5 plus 140, Boise over 14.5 first half, and then the game total 51.5 going over that.
Yes, sir. Where are we heading now, my friend?
Roadrunners and Rams.
Wow.
UTSA.
God, do they deserve an intro?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Is that the sound a Roadrunner makes? Or is it, I don't know.
Gosh, CSU coming off that finale against UNC. I still think that was a catch, but we are where we are. There's a whole week off to prepare. Just released, BFN is going to be the starter still. They have a whole load of question marks on this team.
They bought a wagon to carry them. Actually, this is something. They are something. UTSA. 1-2. They lost to A&M. Very understandable, but they put up 24 points. That's fairly impressive to me. They lose to Texas State 36-43. Texas State's a good team.
They're explosive.
They're just a good team, right? And then they beat Incarnate Word. CSU, as we know, loss at Washington 21-38, and then the win-loss combo. 21-17. I guess they won. They beat the Bears. So this one's pretty interesting. UTSA minus 4.5, and game total here is 59.5. It's 7:30 nighttime at CSU. You know, the crowd will be there. The stands will be full. They'll be making some noise. What do you think here?
Well, two things. So I don't think Colorado State is as bad as my stats, but I don't think they're terribly far off from the old eyeball test here so far. Really, they played very well for 2.5, 3 quarters at Washington, and then I think they just played as bad as one could possibly play at home against UNC.
You know, you would want to say maybe they were looking past UNC to a bigger opponent on the schedule, but that can't be the case with the off week and UTSA rolling into town. At that point, nobody knew who they were.
Correct. And UTSA is no slouch. They're very good on offense. 27th in play efficiency, 58th in explosive drives, 43rd on the ground, 81st through the air. They're definitely going to lean. I believe they play a read option style, if I remember correctly, but with an athletic quarterback. I think it's is it Luke McCown's son, or it's one of the McCowns?
Yep.
Owen. So he's got to be a good athlete. Got to have a decent arm. I just don't think they've found the need to showcase that yet, maybe. But then you get Colorado State's defense here, 94th in play efficiency, drive efficiency. So they allow you to run up and down the field. They're 115th in allowing explosive drives. They're 103rd against stopping the run and 107th against the pass. Just it's pretty gross so far here early.
Owen McCown for UTSA takes care of the ball. Is thrown for 578, 6 touchdowns. No picks. They've got Robert Henry Jr. Has run for 480 yards, 6 touchdowns, doesn't cough it up. All of this starts to look like it's painting a picture to me, Irby. And unfortunately, the UTSA side of this is starting to get my attention. They, you know, their offense, 20th in rushing, 62nd in passing. These are things that are obviously going to give CSU some trouble.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I first opened the app to find out what the spread was, I honestly thought CSU would be favored. Just name-wise, recognition.
At home, Saturday night, it's hard to buy.
Yeah, and then we went into our old process here about an hour and a half ago, and UTSA rivals a lot of similar stats that Washington does. Obviously, I know Washington's going to have greater athletes and coaching staff and all that stuff, but stats are stats and numbers are numbers to me, which leads me to play in the UTSA sides of things. And we found a little plus money here. UTSA over 4.5 touchdowns scored at plus 130, I think is nice value here. I wanted to play the over a little bit, but there's so many question marks, really for both of these teams, honestly, that 60 points seems like a whole heap load. And the more confident side of things for me and my numbers is UTSA.
For me, I understand that UTSA defense has given up some explosive plays and some yardage passing. I don't see BFN being able to hit some open targets. I've seen it too many times this
That's
year.
How you beat this team.
Yeah.
So if CSU is going to win this game at home, it's going to be on BFN's shoulders, which is quite uncomfortable after the last time we saw him.
Yeah, I got to like 4.5, over 4.5 touchdowns for UTSA. That is plus money at 130. And then Texas San Antonio given 4.5. I like that side of things.
I just don't think CSU can keep up. This game needs to be in like the mid to high 20s, maybe creeping into the 30s not even into the 30s. It's got to be a game in the 20s, I think, for CSU to win here. Needs to be a slower style, not so explosive. They need to be better on the ground. They have a ton of great running backs. They just need to figure out where to make them more effective. Stats and everything we look at, I don't know if it gets there.
To me, the way this story reads is UTSA wins, they put on points, and that's the end of the story. Maybe I'm wrong. I have been wrong once.
This is by far like our worst team last year to cover. So this is just this all you CSU Ram fans out there. This is us helping you out here. So UTSA minus 4.5, and then UTSA over 4.5 touchdowns scored at plus 130 is where we're heading here.
We got a local contest next.
We do.
How about that?
Yeah. What do you? Who deserves it more? Do we play them both back to back?
Play them at the same time. They're both equally as impressive.
There's a whole herd of them.
Cowboys at Buffs. How about that? Down in Boulder, Folsom Field, Saturday, 8:15. CU given 13.5, and the total on this game is 44.5. And Irby, I love one of these plays. That is a fact. Wyoming is 2-1. They stomped Akron 10-0.
big time there.
Yeah, they put it on them.
Dominated.
And then they beat Northern Iowa and then to Utah. I was at this one.
Wow. What'd the eyeball test say up there?
The eyeball test. For the first half, Wyoming looked pretty good. The defense looked solid. But then, you know, they just got overwhelmed. And Utah just started racking up points. You got turnovers. And, you know, more than anything else, I know Utah is a good team. They have a good defense. They are not chump change, that's for sure. But the opportunities that Caden Anderson had, he could not take care of. Just misfires, not on schedule, even when there wasn't pressure. It just did not look like a Wyoming team that was prepared. And you've got CU on the other side of this. Lost to Georgia Tech to start the season, then beat a Delaware team, and then lost to Houston. And Houston, I think, is a pretty solid ball club. They lost 20-36 there. So this game, to me, I love one of these plays, and we'll tell you why.
Yeah, I totally agree here. One side of this is majorly glaring. These will be my best bets, which I think you agree is probably your best plays on this side as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So the big thing for me is the Colorado Buffaloes defense is great. Now you're going to say, whoa, 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 whoa here. They just got 36 hung on them.
Hold your buffalo, Irby.
Houston earned every one of those points, and there was a couple turnovers on that side to get there as well. But CU's defense through the air, 19th against the rush, 29th, 22nd in negative drives, 21st in allowing explosive drives, 36th against play-efficient teams, 35th against drive-efficient teams. You want to know the worst part of Wyoming's offense is pretty much so all of those. Yeah. Like they can't muddle their way down the field. They don't have explosive plays. I have a very hard time thinking that Wyoming scores a point in this game, unfortunately.
You know, the question mark probably is, what's CU going to do at quarterback? Any idea? I mean, you know, Staub has just been very meh at best. They've got, they've got a whole herd of quarterbacks on the sidelines. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but that makes Colorado's side interesting to me.
Me too. The quarterback thing is a two-sided problem. So you name Caden Salter as QB1 week one, and his best option is using his legs and creating athletic plays in space, which leads to problem number two is Pat Shurmur calling the plays, and Pat Shurmur does absolutely none of that whatsoever. Like, that hurts his head to think that a quarterback can do anything else but run a pro-style offense. So then that brings you into Ryan Staub. Well, Ryan Staub is somewhat capable of running Pat Shurmur's offense. It's just not great. And then it's Juju Lewis, you're still the big, big question mark. So to me, it's either pick a guy right now, deal with it, hang on to where you are, or you get rid of one of the options. To me, like, if I was CU, like, Pat Shurmur should be, like, kicked over the top of the Rocky Mountains to me. Said, see you later, pal. We gotta find a way to stack some wins here with all the luggage this team brings in and the amount of money that is going into this program. And find a guy that can run Caden Salter's offense, because I think he's the best option to actually win a game, just not in this offense.
And whether it's Staub, whether it's Salter, in this game, I'm just not really so sure that it matters a whole lot. I think CU wins this thing. I think they win it pretty handily by a few scores. A first half line that I really like is CU -6.5. To me, this seems obvious. Wyoming has come out of the gates slowly in every single game. I don't know why they would start now, against a CU team that has a lot of talent. You give a lot of talent more reps, more practice, they're only going to get better.
Yep, and that leads me to the next. We're just going to double up on that, is CU minus 13.5 for the game. Like I said, the defensive side of things is the big glaring part for me. And I'm going to hold on to that CU's defense is still on the well above average to borderline really good defense. That Wyoming's just not going to score. So this is a weird one. Even with those quarterback carousel kind of things, this is one you could get pretty aggressive with. Like if you think CU is going to score 24 points, 27 points, 30 points, see how high that line they'll give you. I don't know what it is, but you know, if you can get a minus 20.5 line or something adjusted out there and just get absolutely wild, I don't think you can. But I don't mind letting that go as high as possible here.
That would not scare me one bit in this game. You've got a CU team that brings just a lot of talent to the table, and you've got a Wyoming team that played Utah as hard as they possibly could. It was, you know, 3-0 at the half. And I got to believe that they might have just left it, you know, in War Memorial. And then they're going to take their show on the road this Saturday. To me, this seems like Anderson. He's only thrown for 3 touchdowns, a couple of picks so far this year. I've got to look for a CU turnover somewhere along the line that's going to just add up to points.
I agree. I just pulled up the app one more time as we're brainstorming here. CU minus 23.5 plus 272. High as it will go is 26.5 plus 383. So our like simple throw a couple bucks on it or ladder it up however you want to ladder on those key numbers that we keep talking about. Like 16.5 plus 125, like the 20.5 plus 196. To me, that's this one's worth, you know, 4 or 5 different bets. Just assuming that, you know, if CU happens to score 35 points, you're in the driver's seat the entire way here.
Oh, without a doubt, Wyoming can't get in a shootout. They're over with. They just would be firing blanks. Couple of conservative plays. CU minus 6.5 in that first half. CU minus 13.5 game total. But this one, it could get out of hand and it could get pretty ugly for the Cowboys, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree there.
I don't like to say that because I kind of like the Cowboys.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. So we got one more game left here, and it's finally the show.
These are our guys.
It is it.
These are our guys.
It is it. Man, I just got to let that. I got to get Micah to get a longer version than that because there's sometimes where I want the short one. There's sometimes I'll let that breathe for a couple minutes.
Let it ride. Let it ride. Fresno's visiting Hawaii. Fresno State 3-1. Hey, how about that? Pretty impressive. They lost to Kansas to begin the season. They beat a Georgia Southern. They beat an Oregon State. And then they beat a Southern. A lot of victories there. Not too many of them are impressive. Hawaii 3-1 beat Stanford. Stanford played a pretty solid game last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Arizona big. Arizona's maybe a little better than what I thought they were. Then they toppled Sam Houston, and they beat Portland State 23-3. That's not that impressive.
So Hawaii, a full note, Hawaii is on schedule to get Micah Alejado back. Star quarterback is the main show in this run and shoot offense here. Doesn't turn the ball over. Very effective in this style of things. He's a full participant in practice. No walking boot. Seems to be fully recovered from that ankle injury that he got week 1 and left the game in week 2 in that Arizona game on.
Yeah, you know, Alejandro, heck of a talent, that's for sure. You know, blue chip five-star prospect, you know, coming out of Bishop Gorman in Vegas. Luke Weaver has stepped in the last couple of games and has done a pretty good job. He's thrown for 600 yards, five touchdowns, however, three interceptions. And I think those interceptions are interceptions that Alejandro just doesn't throw. On the other side of things, E.J. Warner, senior Fresno quarterback. He got in college, being a senior, having some reps and experience really does make a difference. Warner, as good as their record is, has been pretty darn careless with the ball. 716 yards, four touchdowns, five picks.
That's a lot early. Jeez Louise. Yeah, this is going to be a very even matchup. This one could be a good old-fashioned shootout here. Both teams not that great defensively. Both teams kind of meh offensively, but are capable of putting up yards and points, as they've shown here recently. And I don't see a reason to want to play a side here. Other than I would lean Hawaii side with Alejandro back. I just think that they'll take care of the ball better. But I like the total here. Do you think both offenses get it going here, or do you think this is going to be a muddled game?
Well, I got to believe that you've got playmakers on both sides of the ball here. You've got Pofeli Ashlock, the Hawaii receiver. Every time we take a look at a Hawaii game, this guy comes up, and he's dynamite. He really is. I don't know if it's this year, but next year I plan on seeing that kid in the NFL. He's got some length and he's got great hands. So look for, you know, Timmy Chang's offense to be firing fast and quick, getting it outside, looking for some yards after catch. For, you know, the receiving squad, the run and shoot is, you know, by today's standards, not really anything abnormal, but when you do it and do it well, it is super effective. And I look forward to Hawaii coming out fast. I don't think this is a situation where they're going to protect Alejandro, because that's not really his game. He's the type of quarterback that uses his legs and then creates a little space and takes it downfield.
Yeah, both quarterbacks are very good. I understand Warner turns it over just a touch, but that really honestly only helps an over in most cases, unless it's red zone turnovers and things like that.
Those will make you real angry.
So I like over 48.5 here. I feel like these two offenses get it together. Not an official play, but I'm going to probably bet on Hawaii because that's probably what I'm going to do every week. But in this case, I honestly think that they're the better team, especially in the late night, especially at home. But the play here, I think, is over 48.5.
Yeah. You know, both defenses are pretty good, but their weaknesses seem to be in the secondary more than in between the tackles running it. That's going to, you know, amount to some points. This thing, to me, is going to be a good contest. You've got air raid versus run and shoot, and you know this sort of matchup is going to be won or lost through the air. And for me, this means points through the Hawaii air.
Yeah, totally agree. Let's give a little rundown. Let's get out of here. What do you say? I'll do a couple of games. You do a couple of games.
Let's do it.
So Nebraska money line over 46.5 there.
Money.
And then Air Force Boise, Boise side of things. Boise over 14.5 team total in the first half, over 34.5 team total on that adjusted line for the game, and over 51.5 on the game total. Then what do you got, my friend?
UTSA. This is the CSU game here. So UTSA over 4.5 touchdowns at plus money, plus 130. UTSA, lay the points, minus 4.5. Wyoming and CU, this one's got to be my five-star diamond play of the week. CU minus 6.5 in the first half, and CU minus 13.5 for the game. Lastly, we wrap it up with a shootout in Hawaii, over 48.5. Fresno visits.
This week we get a little bit back on track, and I really like these bets here. I actually like all the games. So I'm looking forward to a good record this week. What do you got for the people as we get out of here, Clayton?
Well, the same as always, you know, let's win some money.
It's pretty simple.
Not a difficult concept.
Push a couple of buttons. Watch some kids do it.
Click, click, cha-ching.
Easy game. Thanks again for listening.
Hey, make sure you check us out at FR Spare Change later in the week. Maybe we got some surprises for you. Love to interact with the listeners.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.